You have two roads that you can travel in life. You can travel the broad way that leads to destruction and hell, or you can travel the narrow way that leads to eternal life and heaven. That's what Jesus said, friend, in the Sermon on the Mount. Life really isn't that complicated. It involves two choices. Thank you, friends, for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves, the host of the program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being with us. I want to look this morning at Psalm chapter 1, where the psalmist contrasts the way of righteousness and wickedness, the two paths that a person can travel in life, the two paths that a person can live, the choice of being either righteous or wicked. And I'm glad that you've joined us. If you have your Bible and can turn to Psalm 1, I would encourage you to do that. I'm going to talk about Psalm 1 and the way of righteousness and wickedness contrasted because I want us to be reminded that in life is not really that complicated. We live in a world where there's a lot of choices. You go to a restaurant, there's a lot of choices. You go to buy a car, there's a lot of choices. There's choices in cell phone service. There's choices in internet providers. There's choices all over the place. When you go to a store and you're buying clothes, all kinds of choices. I've been to other countries where the choices are a lot limited, much more limited. But we have all kinds of choices. You go to a grocery store and you go down an aisle. There's all kinds of choices just on one product being offered. Coffee is a big thing, especially among the young people today. You stand in front of the coffee section, there's all kinds of choices of coffee. But life in our relationship with God is really not like that. It's just simply two choices. And we've got to remember that. And we've got to think about that. Not three, not four, five, six, two. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, a broad way that leads to destruction or a narrow way that leads to eternal life. Broad, little to no rules, very loosey-goosey, live any way you want, and you can easily end up in hell. A narrow way, meaning strict, confined, hemmed in. And the boundaries are the New Testament law of Christ, God's Word. And we live in a world today where everybody wants their freedoms and their rights and their privileges. And we want a wide lane to include everybody. We hear today about being inclusive. And so the devil is having a heyday where we're so wide and broad and inclusive of everybody that everybody gets to live any way they want and it's no big deal. That's that broad way that leads to destruction. Few people want to be hemmed in, confined, stay within boundaries, stay in their lane. We want that broad approach. Friends, life in our relationship with God is about two things. You can either be righteous or you can be wicked. You can either be heading to heaven or heading to hell. You can serve God or you can serve the devil. You can believe the truth or you can believe error. And we could go on and on like that. That's what life is, those two choices. And I find it interesting that the psalmist begins in here in Psalm 1, and I find it interesting that when the psalms were put together, this one ended up being the first psalm. An author is not given in the attribution of it. We don't know who wrote it. But I find it interesting that it's at the very beginning because it actually sets the stage for all the psalms. It lays the groundwork for all of the psalms. And it's this idea that either live a righteous life or a wicked life. You either live a righteous life and bring your life into conformity to God's word and will, or you don't. You just let sin be in your life and live any way you want, and the devil would be happy with that. But there's a problem in the end. So Psalm 1 becomes actually the foundation for all the Psalms. And it's also a theme that is in what we call the wisdom literature, the wisdom, Old Testament wisdom, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and the book of Job. These are books that deal with what we call Old Testament wisdom from God, and one of the key elements in these wisdom books is that you either live a righteous life or a wicked life. So it's the foundation of the book of Psalms. Let's read it this morning. Let's talk about these two choices. The righteous and the wicked contrasted. What the psalmist is going to do here in Psalm chapter 1, or the first psalm, he's going to do a couple of things. He's going to tell us that there is a wicked man and a righteous man, and then he's going to tell us the consequences of living one or the other life. Ideologies have consequences. Ideas have consequences. Ways of living have consequences. And we're not teaching that today. We're just saying live any way you want and don't worry about anything. Nothing's going to happen. But the way we choose to live has consequences. And so in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is going to say there's two different ways to live, the righteous life and the wicked life. And then in verses 3 through 6, he's going to say, depending upon which one you choose, there are going to be some consequences that follow. So let's take a look at it. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist is going to talk about the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law does he meditate day and night." Blessed, meaning happy. Someone who is in a blessed relationship with God. He's happy when he's living by righteous principles and staying away from sin, and God certainly is happy. Well, what does this person do? Well, first of all, the psalmist says, he walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. There is a parallelism here and a progression here of thought. The man who's living the righteous life is not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked, is not going to stand in the way of sinners, is not going to sit in the seat of scoffers. Notice this person is walking along. I'm not going to be walking in the counsel of the wicked. I'm not going to stop and stand and stay even longer. And I'm not going to sit, which means that I'm going to stay even longer. So notice the progression there. Walking and standing and sitting. The righteous are not going to stand, walk and stand and sit with those who are living in sin. That doesn't mean we don't associate with sinners. We talk with them and we study with them and we spend time with them just like Jesus did in order to help them with the gospel. But this is talking about agreeing with what they're doing. We're not in fellowship and agreement with sinful practices. We're not going to listen to wicked counsel, what they have to say about how to live. We're not going to follow the way, the example, the lifestyle of the sinner, and we're not going to sit in the seat of the scoffer. A scoffer is someone who openly mocks and criticizes and scorns all that is right and good. And you'll see that in society today. People will mock God and they'll mock the Bible and they'll mock Christianity. It's a punchline. It's a joke. It's a stand-up comedic joke. And we're going to stay away from things that lead us down that wicked path. It's in TV, it's in music, it's in social media, it's on our phone, it's on our computer, it's on our TV, it's everywhere. Wickedness, sinfulness, scoffing and mocking at what is right and good. The righteous person is not going to do that. And in verse 2, the righteous person is rather, the word but, here's your contrast. This person is going to delight in the law of Jehovah. We're not going to get man's counsel. We're going to get God's counsel. We're not going to follow man's rules. We're going to follow God's rules. Well, we have to know that. Where is that? It's in Scripture. We have an Old Testament and we have a New Testament, and God's law for all today is the New Testament, the law of Christ. We're going to get our Bible open. We're going to start reading Matthew to Revelation. It's not hard. Anyone can do it. You can hear it even on your phone. You can have someone read it to you. We need to know God's law, and not just know it, but this man delights in it. I love God's law over man's law. I love God, and I love His law, and I want to learn it and obey it. And not only does he delight in it, but on his law does he meditate day and night. That's what fills his mind. So here's your reading it, looking at it, pondering it, studying it, examining it, thinking about it throughout the day. How can I apply this? What does it mean? How can I apply it? We're meditating on these things. We're spending our time doing that, and it's leading us in the right way. And remember, verse 1, blessed is the man. There's going to be a great reward for this. And I'm not just talking about in heaven, certainly there, but right now in this life, the person who is delighting in God's law and meditating on it and applying it, he's living the blessed life now. It will bless your marriage, friend. It will bless your parenting. It will bless your children. It will bless how you act at work and at school. It brings blessings. Sometimes people view Christianity as this, almost like this slavery thing that you commit to each week. And it's this life that is not fun at all. No, it's the blessed life. And I can tell you from personal experience, it is. And as Paul will say in 1 Timothy 4, that godliness has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It's a great life, and I would encourage you to live it. So we've got to make some choices. We've got to stay away from the wickedness and the sinfulness and the scoffing. We've got to stay away from that. We're not going to walk in that. We're not going to stand by it. We're not going to sit down with it. We're going to stay away from that. And you can in your life, friend, and with your spouse, if you're married, with your children. I just spoke with someone yesterday in town at a restaurant. I invited them to church services, and they said, you know, we've really been wanting to get back into church. And I want my kids to be in church, and I need to be in church. I think there are people that are thinking about that. They need that extra nudge to do it. We've had enough of this being with the sinful world and how it brings us down. All the garbage that is propagated on social media, not all of it is, a lot of it is, and you just hear that and see that all day long. And then you start doing it as well. It is not a life that you want to live in. So God's law, God's word, our Bible, they're everywhere. And if you don't have one, they're easy to get. We can start reading God's law and live that blessed life. So the first thing that the psalmist does is he says there's a couple of choices here. You can walk in the way of the wicked and the sinners and the scoffers, or you can be someone who follows God's law. Now, starting in verses 3 through 6, the psalmist is going to give the consequences of each of those. And he's going to start with the righteous person. By the way, while I'm on that topic, the righteous, he's going to talk about the righteous in just a minute in verse 5. I'm not talking about the self-righteous. I'm talking about the righteous. In the New Testament, the righteous person is the person who obeys the gospel and does what is right. He's not self-righteous. He doesn't walk around with his own list of things that he believes he's doing that makes him better than somebody else. I didn't say the self-righteous. I said the righteous. And God pronounces us righteous when we follow his righteous words and his righteous laws. And when we do what he wants us to do to be right with him, he removes sin. When we obey the gospel, when our sins are washed away in baptism, and we are made right, not self-righteous, but righteous. And so I want to say that because I think a lot of times today in the world, a person hears righteous and they think self-righteous. Well, Mr. Reeves on the Let the Bible Speak program, he's talking about people who walk around thinking that they're better than others. No, not at all. In fact, we admit that we are in sin and we come and we want to be made righteous. And in the book of Romans, the way that that's done is the gospel of righteousness, the gospel of God's righteousness. God tells us in his gospel how we can be right. So we're just simply doing what he tells us to do to be right. And when we choose that, there's going to be some great consequences. Let's look at it. In verse 3, he begins with the righteous person. And he, the righteous person, this person who delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on it, the person who stays away from the wickedness and the sin and the scoffing, this person will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now he's going to go on in just a minute to talk about the wicked. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's look at the result and the consequence of being a righteous person. He uses the figure of a tree. In the Psalms, you'll see this a lot. Figures of speech, simile, or a metaphor where something is like or as something else, a comparison, okay? So the righteous person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. This is the figure of stability. Number two, that brings forth its fruit, the lesson of bearing fruit. Number three, whose leaf does not wither. You're alive instead of dead. And number four, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Prosperity. Strength, fruit bearing, living life, and prosperity. The consequences of living a righteous life. This fruitful tree is used in Scripture to describe the person who trusts and obeys the Lord. And you're going to have strength. You're going to be like a tree planted by the water, thoroughly watered. My plants at home, I can tell when they need watering, they start withering up. I give them some water, they perk up. A tree planted by the water is a tree that is living and strong and nourished. And friends, if you will live that righteous life, you can have strength in your marriage. We live in a world that is trying to tear our marriages apart and our families apart, but you can have the spiritual strength to stand up to all of that and to make it through that and help your kids make it through that. Parents, No, parents agree with me. I think all parents in Clarksville would agree with me that they see challenges in their children. Challenges that they bring home from school, challenges that they have on their phones. And they live in a difficult world. It's a challenging world. And we can be strong against that, spiritually strong. So there's strength. Number two, there's fruit. We can bear fruit. We can see good things happening in our lives if we'll live that righteous life. Number three, we don't have to be dead spiritually, but alive. And number four, we can have spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity when we obey the Lord. The Lord told Joshua at the beginning of the book of Joshua, if you will follow my word, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Follow it exactly like I tell you. You will prosper. And we need to do the same today. That is the result of living the righteous life. But there's also another result of living the wicked life. This is the life where you live any way you want. You don't have to follow God's law. God's law. Somebody says, well, what is wickedness? What is sin? Well, in verse 1, wicked, sin, and then verse 2, law of the Lord. When we violate God's law, we're wicked. When we violate God's law, we sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. Sin is unrighteousness, 1 John 5:17. The word iniquity, lawlessness. The word sin in the New Testament comes from a Greek word hamartia, meaning to miss the mark. The mark being God's law. We either fail to do what he wants us to do, or we go out and do what he doesn't want us to do, or we do something other than what he wants us to do. We violate God's law. And that's what sin is. Sin is not just some societal opinion about this or that. It's a violation of God's law. So look at verse 4. The wicked are not so. They're not like what? They don't have the strength. They don't have the fruit, the life, and the prosperity. They're not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. This is the husk around the grain of wheat. And it's the little husk that can fly off in the wind when you separate the wheat from the chaff. It blows away. This is symbolic of instability, not stability. Instability. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. And that's what goes on today. Wicked people, people in town, around the world, they don't have spiritual stability. They're always out doing this and that. They're always trying to stay one step ahead of the law or the principal at school or someone who they think is going to chase them down. They tell one lie to cover up another lie, one deceit to cover up another deceit. And they're in all kinds of problems, debt, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, all kinds of problems, and they're all over the place. They're not stable at all, and they live a day at a time, and they have no grounding, and it's a bad way to live. Verse 5, therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment. That doesn't mean they won't be present. All will be present. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30 and 31, because he's going to judge the world. We're all going to be there. This means he will not be able to stand in judgment as someone who's righteous. They will not be able to stand acquitted of sin. They're guilty and they're condemned. The wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There will not be wicked and sinful people in the same group as the righteous. There's going to be a separation. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 25, verses 30 and following, about the great coming judgment day. People are separated. The righteous are separated from the wicked, just like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. There's a lie that's told today that everybody gets to go to heaven. No, sir, friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so the sinners will not be in the congregation of the righteous. You will not be in that group that goes to heaven. You will be in that group that goes to hell. You have that choice, friend. And I'm encouraging you today by looking at this psalm to make the right choice. And then the psalmist says, "For Jehovah knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." This is a statement meaning the Lord knows in the sense of approving. The Lord knows everybody. The Lord knows all actions of all people, right and wrong. Here it's talking about the Lord knows and approves of and is in fellowship with and will reward the righteous. But the way of the wicked shall perish. There's going to be trouble now in this life for the wicked person, and there will be even more so in hell fire. Friends, we need to make the right choice. Are you making the choice to do what is righteous or to do what is wicked? What choices are you making? True happiness, blessedness, delight in life is found by staying away from sin, not engaging in it. Friend, you can have the blessed life, but you've got to choose the way of righteousness. And we've got to use some discernment and some understanding to stay away from the wicked and sinful way. We've got to use our minds and our brains. I'm not going to walk in that way. I'm not going to sit in that way. I'm not going to sit in that way. I want to stay away from that. And I want to live the righteous life. And friends, I need to have a better attitude toward the law of the Lord, where I delight in it. I want to hear it. I want to read it. I want to study in it. I want to study it. I want to meditate on it and ponder and reflect on it. What an attitude. Biblical illiteracy and ignorance is at a premium and a high today, but we can overcome that in our life by just simply starting to sit down and read our own Bible. And then we will bear the fruits of righteousness, and we will be able to be in that congregation of the saints in heaven when there's that great separation in the judgment day. The wicked will not be with the righteous. There's going to be a separation, and we've got to be on the right side of that room, if you will. There's only two ways to travel in life: the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. Which way, friend, will you choose? The Lord wants you to choose the way of righteousness. Jesus described it as the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Make that choice today. The Lord knows who you are when you make that choice, and He will reward you greatly for it in the end. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.